Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
And I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
That's so true.
Who I am. That's who I am.
Thank you for being a good father to us, Lord. For many of us, that was the very thing that drew us to salvation. It was the thing that melted our heart. We came because, Jesus, you came to reveal who the Father was to us, and you showed us his love and his provision. Thank you, Father. And now, Lord, as we go into your word, we just ask you as a good father to touch hearts and lives and bodies in this room, Lord, online and in the cafe and wherever people are hearing my voice. I pray the Father's love and grace and provision will be so real to us in this moment that we will be changed forever and we will lead the life that Jesus came to bring us into. We thank you for this time, Lord. We glorify you. We thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. Give the Father a hand clap this morning. He's real. His love is real. His peace is real. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you, worship team. Good job, you guys. Appreciate that. Just before I get into the message this morning that I'm really excited to share with you, just a little bit of family business. Moses Abrego and Joe Zelaya, are you in this room? Are you guys here? Stand up, y'all. Joe, way over there. And is Moses around somewhere? He's on his way. Well, at the end of this service, we're going to pray for these two guys because they're moving, but they're not moving away from us. In fact, they're moving ahead of us over to a little city called Phoenix, Arizona, where just a few months from now, Pastor Albert and Jenny will be joining them and the rest of the team. People are already moving to Arizona to open up our new branch, our new campus, our Gateway Phoenix campus. So we're going to pray at the end of the service. And Joe, I just want to say thank you. I love having you in this church, and I'm going to be so excited to see how the Lord's going to use you in our Phoenix church. Give him a God bless you, and Moses as well. Thank you, guys. You guys are amazing. We're going to miss you, but I am going to come to Phoenix, not in the summer, but I am coming to Phoenix. So after the second service, and tell your friends and family we're coming to Phoenix, Arizona. Also in the lobby, there's information about our Israel trip that we're taking in November. This is going to be a fantastic trip. Kathy and I love to bring people to Israel. This will be our fifth time doing it, and we do it because it's such a life-changing experience. And this year is kind of special because it's the 70th anniversary of the State of Israel, and also the year when our United States Embassy will be moved to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv, which is a very significant move for our nation and the recognition of the Jewish people and their homeland. So it's a special trip. We're going to see all the sites. If you're interested in that, please don't feel bad if you can't make it to this trip. But, you know, you should pray and see if God would provide for you. But if you have the money, don't even blink. I mean, it is so worthwhile. Nobody comes back from this trip thinking, I wish I hadn't spent that money. It's a life changer. It's a great, great time. And it's a really nice tour. We have a great time together. And then finally, just one more little family business thing. Many of you know that we have Gateway City Church, which you're sitting in right now, but we also have our sister organization, which is Gateway Community Outreach. This is our nonprofit organization that reaches out into the community. When you're giving, thank you for giving to Gateway City Church. When you're giving to Gateway City Church, you are helping us with our outreaches, and we're covering part of the cost of Gateway Community Outreach. But Gateway Community Outreach is its own organization, has its own budget, and it needs its own funding to really do what God has called us to do as Gateway Community Outreach. One of the things that we've been doing is our soccer program that we've been doing over at the Edenvale Community Center, and some of our young adults are engaged in that, and other people. It's one of the great programs in our church. With an active gang in that neighborhood, this program reaches at-risk youth and children and points them in the right direction. Kids are not just learning soccer drills, but they're building meaningful relationships with their Christian coaches and their teammates. So this is salt and light all the way, and it's right here in our community. It's been great, and I thank everybody that's been involved. And then Pastor Carol, who is our executive director. Pastor Carol, would you please stand up just so people know? We love this lady. She does a great job. Not only our women's pastor, but our executive director of Gateway Community Outreach. She does a fantastic job. She came into my office the other day, and I was shocked to hear that this program is in jeopardy, because now what has been free to us, the use of the soccer fields and the parking lots for that community outreach center, is now this year they're going to charge us $3,000 just to drive onto the parking lot and to play on the field. And we've made every wise appeal. We've contacted our people in the mayor's office, and we've pulled some strings, but it's the school district, and so they are required by, I guess, their budget and the powers that be to charge us $3,000 for this year. So Carol said, we're going to have to close this program. And I said, stop. The press is right there. We're $3,000 away from keeping this program open. I can get that in one Sunday from this people, because I know that this congregation is not going to back up from a community outreach that is affecting kids. We want to move forward. We don't want less of this. I don't want to turn this off. I want to turn it up. How many are with me? So I'm just thinking, I wasn't a math major, but I figured if 100 people gave $30, or if 30 people gave $100, or any combination of generosity, we could pay for this whole program for this year, and I think we ought to do it, and I think we ought to do it today. So I'm going to ask you, Kathy and I have jumped into this. Now, we already are monthly supporters, Kathy and I. We already support Gateway Community Outreach. We give our tithes and our offerings to our church, but we're also, it's in our budget. We stand with GCO every month, but we're going to do something extra, because I don't want to have to tell these kids in this at-risk neighborhood, sorry, we can't hang out with you and teach you soccer. So we're going to find a way to get involved in this offering. We're doing that today. And at the end of the service, we're going to receive an offering. And I just want to challenge business people, and I want to challenge everybody that could even borrow $30. Let's get into this and take care of this need. Can we do that? Or should we just turn off this kids program? How many think we ought to go forward? I'm not in a mood to back up. I've been at this too long. We've finally got into our city, and we're connecting with the lost in such a wonderful way. So please mark, if you are participating in today's offering or you can help us at all, mark your envelope, or if you're using the PushPay app, there's always a slot there that says Gateway Community Outreach. And same on with online giving, Gateway Community Outreach. You're going to give your tithe over here, your other offerings, your beyond offering, but you're going to give your Gateway Community Outreach. And if you can do that, it would be so great. And if you could do it every month, we could do more programs for kids. And we're doing a great job with the Gateway Community Outreach. So please stand with us and let's meet that need today. All right. How many are ready for the Word of God? Have you ever had a day where you felt like your head was going to explode? You just wanted to run outside screaming, help! I'm stressing out. I had such a day a few weeks back. I don't want to give you all the details, but it involved Verizon customer service. And that's all I'm going to say. But I just, and then there was a few other things that I had to be a Tuesday, and Tuesdays are very busy in my life, and meeting after meeting, and there was a few other things going on, some pressures and some bad news, and then to cap it off, the Verizon incident, which I will not describe, and then I got home, and I mean, I told my wife, I said, I feel like I'm shaking. My adrenaline has just been rushing the whole day, and I'm just frustrated, and I just need God's peace. Well, those days, have you ever had a day like that? Americans say that they experience about 60 of those days a year. 60 days a year where you just feel like you're going to lose your mind. But those aren't the worst possible days. There are also the dark days where you get bad news, the days where you find out you're being laid off, or someone you love has passed away or gotten sick. That's when it really ramps up. And I had one of those days just last week. If you were here, you didn't see me last Sunday, because I had to rush to Stockton, where my parents live, and walk them and my siblings through an ER experience with my dad where we weren't sure if he was going to make it. He had what turns out to be a stroke. This is my dad, Dan Canastracy. That's Maui. That's my favorite place in the world. But that's my dad. That's my favorite dad. And and it was touch and go. They ended up doing surgery. The surgeon said to me, I'm afraid to do this surgery on him. It's going to save his life, but it may give him a massive stroke because in order to do this surgery, we have to turn his blood pressure up. And that's the problem right now. And he may have a stroke. So I said, doctor, you do your part, and we're going to trust God to do his part. So I wasn't able to be here, but thankfully, I'd already scheduled Jordan to speak. By the way, did he do a good job last week? Or in the first service, I said, well, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. And then John Cohen said, you better watch out because he's breathing down your neck. He did better than you do. So John Cohen is dead to me from this moment on. But love you, John. He's going to get me after. All right. So Jordan was already scheduled to preach, and I just went. That was another day. But there are even worse days. And that day could have been much, much worse, depending on what happened. How do you handle those days, those moments that you feel like you can't handle them? How do you walk through life as a parent, as a son, as a person going through changes, whatever's going on in your world, when the world around you is rocking, how do you hold it together on the inside? That's what I want to talk about today, because God has a plan for every single one of us to be filled with peace. And we're going to dive into the scriptures to understand God's plan for our lives concerning the tests, the questions, the risky days of life. And we're talking in this series about the fact that God has created each of us to contain, to carry. You are crafted by God as a vessel. You're a container. The question in life becomes, what are you carrying? What's on the inside of you? Because that nature that God has given you that can hold and contain things can hold his peace. It can hold joy. It can hold love and every good thing. But it can also hold stress and anxiety and tension. So what are you carrying becomes really an important question in life. And God has a plan for us to be filled with peace. Let me take you to 2 Peter chapter 1. The New Living Version. I'm going to read this to you in a couple of versions. The simpler version, you would recognize, like the King James Version, is grace and peace be multiplied to you through our Father God in Christ Jesus. The New Living Translation says, may you have more and more, may you have more and more of his loving favor and peace as you come to know, here's the key, as you come to know God and our Lord Jesus Christ better. I think that's the key right there of understanding how to walk in peace. You come to have peace multiply in you the more you know Jesus Christ. The contemporary amplified version says something like this: may peace, which is the perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity and freedom from fears, and watch this, agitating passions and moral conflicts. Freedom from agitating passions and moral conflicts. May that peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God through relationship or in relationship to your knowledge of God. There's a lot there, but I love the idea of peace multiplying in our lives, of peace filling our lives. Why is it that we don't always experience that? Well, you say the world is crazy. I mean, look at the nation. Look at the weather things, look at the political issues, look at the economies and all these. How could we possibly have peace with all this turmoil going on? And yes, we do need peace in light of the circumstances and the things that the drama and the stressors that we encounter all the time. But when it comes to peace, what we're really talking about is the world on the inside of you. It's not the world on the outside of us. It's the world on the inside of us, where God really wants to fill and bring his peace. So the clue is, what are we filled with? And God wants us to be filled with peace. There are people in this room, people listening to me online or in the cafe, that are experiencing those agitations, those battles, those fears, those conflicts of the mind. And the Lord wants to fill you with His peace this morning, and He wants to give you a Holy Spirit strategy to walk in peace. So I want you to say this with me, and I want you just to receive this kind of in your inner life, not just in your ears or in your brain, but deep down inside. I want you to believe this, so say it with me. God wants me filled with peace. Say that. God wants me. So I'm just going to ask you, if I could, just have you close your eyes right now. Maybe take a good breath and just let it out. And just say again, God wants me filled with peace. Lord, I'm asking that today you'll introduce us to a new way of having peace through Jesus Christ. And let it multiply in us supernaturally, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. A few things about how to be filled with peace. Would this be interesting to you? Would you like to know how to be filled with peace in your life? Let me give you three thoughts today. First, you've got to believe that peace comes from Jesus Christ. Peace doesn't come because it's your birthday or Christmas or your anniversary. Peace is not external. Peace is something internal. Peace comes from a relationship. It comes from a person, Jesus Christ. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace." You don't need your peace. You need His peace. Hallelujah. That's a different quality. My peace I give to you. And then He says, not as the world gives. I'm still trying to figure out how the world gives peace. Maybe there's beverages or pills or weird religions or whatever that could maybe help for a minute have something close to peace. But I've never found peace in the world. But He said, the quality of peace that I want to give you, it comes from me, and it's not anything to do with the world. And He says this, then let not your hearts be troubled, neither let your heart be afraid. Circle that word troubled, because that's a very important scripture there. He talks, first of all, about Him being the source of our peace. He said, I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to introduce peace into your life. And I like to say it this way. You might not want to write this down. Peace is a person. Peace is not a feeling. It's a person that you meet. It is something you experience on a deeply personal level. Jesus is peace. You have to go to Him to get it. And that might be a narrow road. It might take you a minute to find that path. It might take you turning your life over to Jesus. It might mean that you let go of the control of your life, but somewhere in relationship to Him, there is peace. But the Word is guiding us to be filled with peace in the person of Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 14 says, He Himself is our peace. Peace is not a feeling or a condition or an experience. It's a person, and that person is Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have access to peace. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have access to peace. The world will not give it to you. And your mind cannot create it. You can meditate and you can stare at your belly button and you can be in the lotus position. You can believe every false religion, but you will never truly find peace because there's only one Prince of Peace. And His name is Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that His very name is the God of peace. Look at Romans 16, verse 20. And the God of peace, the God of peace, will soon crush Satan under your feet. That's a good one for one of those bad days. Okay, I'm having a bad day. My head feels like it's going to explode. And then you just say that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under my feet. I wasn't meant to be crushed by life. I was meant to do the crushing. I was meant to be above this stuff and not underneath it, trying to swim my way to the surface so I can come up for air. I'm supposed to be floating way above the surface and living with the peace of God filling every molecule of my body. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. He's careful to say that Satan, who is also a person, see, torment is a person as well. And I think a lot of us don't. If peace is a person, we have to get used to the fact that what is the source of a lack of peace? Well, again, we usually look at circumstances. But a lot of times, there's one who comes to bring torment. And this is why Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That word trouble that you circled just a minute ago, in Greek it means to be stirred or to be agitated. It speaks of a violent action to disturb the quiet of or to throw something into chaos, meaning your emotions, your inner life. And it produces darkness in the mind and in the emotions. What I'm saying is there's a dark aspect to this lack of peace that Jesus is warning us about. And the scripture says the God of peace will crush that darkness. And so your inheritance, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Jesus is saying, hey, this is in my will. I'm granting it to you. I'm giving it to you. It is yours. Don't settle for trouble and agitation, which comes from the enemy. I was reading in Leviticus this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. I told Kathy, I'll tell everybody. I was a little bored with Leviticus. I go through Leviticus, the spots and the molds and the boils and the, I'm not mocking the Word of God, but it's just a little, some passages, like she said, I want to get to the words of Jesus. I said, I understand. But I was in Leviticus and I stopped on this word because it talks about ceremonially clean animals and others that are unclean. And one of the clean ones has one of the distinguishing marks of a clean animal is it chews the cud. And I thought, I don't even know what that means. So I looked it up, and I come across this word, ruminate. Everybody say ruminate. Well, chewing the cud, I'm going to spare you the details, but it has to do with re-chewing food. I'll say it that way. And that process is called rumination, but then there's a psychological process, an emotional process called rumination. And do you know what emotional rumination is? It's when you're stuck on something and you keep going over it and over it and over it. Maybe a conflict at work, or maybe something going on at home, or some difficult issue, and you start ruminating or agitating, and you get darker and darker and psychologists will even tell you. I did some reading today, and I'm not going to get off track, although I'm already off track, sorry, in the back. But I'm just talking to my church, okay? You guys we're family here. So emotional rumination is when you start to just go over and over and over and over, and psychologists will tell you that that is a precursor, absolute precursor to depression. When you are stuck on stupid and you go over the problem again and again and again, you are winding yourself down into a pit. You think that the more you ruminate and the more you go over it, you're going to find the answer. But even psychologists know that this is pre-depression behavior. In other words, it will lead you to depression. Jesus said, you're getting agitated. You're going over it and over it. Don't settle for that. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. So there's a darkness to that, because when you dwell on the problem instead of dwelling on the promise, you open the door to the enemy and you give him access to your inner world. You're opening the door to Satan. You're opening the door to darkness emotionally, and then that becomes your life. I don't want that for you. Jesus doesn't want that for you. Jesus came to die to break the power of darkness in your life and to bring you into peace. That's what this whole thing is all about, to deliver you from your sins and to break the power of the evil one in your life. So he's saying, I don't want you to live that way, ruminating, agitating, fearful, depressed, discouraged. I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. And that's the peace factor. So I'm not talking about poetry today. I'm not talking about a positive mental attitude. I'm talking about a deep deliverance and freedom that Jesus came to give you. That he wants you to walk in a supernatural peace that you cannot conjure by yourself. You have to receive it from him in relationship to him because it is him. And if you have Jesus, you will have peace. And the God of peace is crushing Satan under your feet. Hallelujah. Write this down. If we get the God of peace, accessing the peace of God is no problem. You get the God of peace, and you will have what is in his hand, which is the peace that passes understanding. So believe that peace comes from Jesus Christ. And then, number two, focus on the one thing that welcomes peace. There's just one thing that you and I must have if we're going to welcome peace into our life. Let me tell you a story. It's found in Luke chapter 10. The story is one day Jesus came to his friend's house. He was friends with two sisters, Mary and Martha, there in Bethany, and he came over for fellowship. I want you to picture this scene. Mary, she's the relational one. She's at the feet of Jesus. He's talking and she's just receiving every word that he's sharing with her. But the Bible says that Martha, over on the other side of the room, was distracted. She was busy preparing the hors d'oeuvres for this little soiree that they were going to have, probably crushing some hummus or making salsa. I'm not sure what she was up to in the kitchen, but she was getting it together. And in the midst of this, it says she was distracted by much serving. Distracted by much serving. And she started to complain, "Lord, don't you care?" Now, it's so interesting how we can shift our discomfort and project it onto other people. I'm cool. Jesus is the problem. He doesn't care. He's missing it right here. Because I tell you, look, if you think that God is missing something in your life, pause, take a deep breath, and slap yourself. Because the problem isn't him, okay? Here's a little clue. You're probably not where you need to be. But she's agitated, right? And she says, "Lord, you don't care. You don't see. You're not on it, Jesus. You need to get busy in here and get after my sister and straighten her out because she is whack. She's out of her mind." And she's the task-oriented one. How many friends in this room are task-oriented? Like your favorite thing in the whole day is crossing stuff off your list. That gives you more joy, more. Like, to me, a good day is when I get everything crossed off. It's like, wow, I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't smile. I just got my list done. Okay, so a lot of us are like that, and the rest of you that think we're crazy, but there's a fair. Let me just see how many are sort of like that. Let me see your hand. The rest of you, a lot of you are fibbing. So Martha is the task-oriented one. Mary is the people-oriented one. And, we got some. Who cares about the list? Let's party, right? That's the. Okay, so, all right, a little bit of hostility in this room. Let's not. We got a wave going over here there. But it's ironic that Martha has got the Prince of Peace in her living room. She is entertaining the God of Peace, but she is not experiencing the peace of God. Meaning that the promise or the possibility of peace is not a guarantee of the possession of peace. Just because Jesus promised you peace doesn't mean you're going to experience it. Apparently, you have to position yourself or reposition yourself in order to experience peace. And this is where Jesus diagnoses her and clips her and adjusts her. I don't know if you've ever been adjusted by God, but he does this. And so this is what he says. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. I think he was saying it's not just the hummus and the salsa. I think he was saying you got a lot of habits emotionally. You have a lot of ways mentally of dealing with life, and you're troubled on a deep level here. But look at your sister, Mary, the one that you're frustrated with. She's actually getting it right. She's focused where she needs to be focused. And Martha, you're missing it. You're worried and bothered. See, there's that agitation. And she's in the kitchen doing the dishes, and she's ruminating, you know. And she's just going, Martha, 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 Martha. Or Mary, Mary, Mary. That's the way she said it. Mary, Mary, Mary. And Jesus stops her and says, she's chosen the one thing. Now, what's the one thing that she chose? It was to focus on Jesus. So if you say, well, what's the, I don't have peace, but peace I know is near me. It's in my living room. How do I get peace? It's focus. That's the issue. And this is what David was talking about in the Psalms when he said, one thing I have desired. And that one thing is what I'm going to seek after with all my heart. What is it? Psalm 27, verse 4. This one thing I've asked of the Lord, that's the thing that I seek most. That's the thing that I focus on, that I could center my life in God, in the house of the Lord. So really, peace is granted to all of us. It's there, but we have to access it through focus. And really, that makes perfect sense to me. Because if you're really going to enjoy a relationship with God, you have to focus. If you're going to enjoy a relationship with anybody, you have to give your attention to them. If you want to enjoy your children, you got to focus on them. If you want to enjoy being married, you have to focus on your spouse. If you want to enjoy Jesus, you can't ignore him. Have you ever been on a date or with people that are just like, they're not focused on you? They're checking their phone, they're everywhere, but in the moment. And it's so easy to do that because we are rushing around in life. We're busy. And of course you have things to do. You're raising a family. You have to do that. You've got to clean the garage. You've got to go to work. You've got to do laundry and all that stuff. You got to go to Walmart. My favorite store in the world. You got to do all that stuff. But in the midst of that, there is a way to be mindful and attentive to the Lord. And we're still figuring that out. It's easier for relational people to do it than task-oriented people. But the key is, if you're task-oriented, just make focusing on the Lord a task. Put it on your list, and then you're good. You're golden, all right? So make your relationship with him one of the items that you have on your list, and then he'll show you how to live even better than that. But that's good for a starter. So the peace comes when we really focus. Of course, there are legitimate distractions in life. I understand that. But there's a way to focus on Jesus in the midst of that. Where does it begin? It begins in the Word of God, reading the Bible, and in prayer. But it's so much more. It's paying attention to the Lord, being mindful of his presence. That's why the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 2 says, just focus on Jesus. Here's your theme verse. Here's how you do this. Just stay focused on him. He's the goal. He's the source. He's the target. So write this down. Distractions lead to distress, but focusing on Christ welcomes peace. Let me ask you this. If you're not experiencing peace, is it possible anyway that you are focused on the problem? If you'll turn your focus and get it where it needs to be, it's amazing how automatic peace becomes, because peace is a person, and when you begin to relate to the person and you give him your attention, who he is starts to fill you and you experience what he's promised. Here's the last part of this that I think is vital for us, and I think we have to allow life's experiences, if we want to have peace, we have to allow life's experiences to enlarge our peace. I had a conversation recently with a young father, and we were talking about raising kids and busyness and you know, just all the rushing around of life and faith in the midst of that, and he's doing really good. But one thing he said, one moment that's particularly hard for me is maybe like the 3 a.m. sick baby moment, where the kid may be screaming or suffering or unhappy, and you're calling on God, and you're saying, God, you know, get rid of this fever, you know, heal this child, let the coughing stop. And those are real moments. And in that moment, if the coughing doesn't stop, or in that moment, just the moment that you say, God, please do this, and then if it doesn't happen, it could be a little crisis of faith, if we're honest. It's like, God, where are you? You know, in this moment, I need you. And we've all had those moments. But here's what I would say. You may not be able to mark the faithfulness of God or the love of God in a moment, but you can mark it over time. And this is what the Bible says and teaches us in Psalm 107, verses 28 through 30 and verse 43. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing that stillness was as he brought them safely into harbor. Watch this. Those who are wise will take all of this to heart. They will see in our, what? History, the faithful love of the Lord. You may miss it in a moment. You got a cancer diagnosis. God, where are you? You got the layoff notification. God, where's your faithful love? Your child is sick. Lord, where are you? That's a moment. You may not be able to see love or faithfulness in that moment. But God wants to establish a relationship with you and create a history with you over time of proving himself to you over and over and over that he comes through and that he is faithful. And over the course of time, that's what Peter said when we started this message with that verse, that peace is multiplied to you as you grow to know Jesus better. In other words, as you walk through this life and you face the problems and they end up turning okay, and God gets you out of it and he helps you, maybe it wasn't in the moment that you asked, but it really turns out actually for your good. Somehow it all works out. Then you begin to say, you know what? I've got some history with God here. And you become aware that God really does come through for you. And the peace multiplies in your life. As you say to yourself, you know what? I've been here before. Eventually, the longer you know the Lord, you finally get to the place where you say, wait a minute, I've been here before. God's never failed me. He's going to do it again, and I'm not going to panic. Because even though this moment is hard, I lost someone that I love. I missed the opportunity where I'm facing a crisis. I still have access to peace because I'm still in relationship with God. And furthermore, I got history with God. I'm not going to give up on him. He's up to something good in my life. And that is how the experience of life increases your peace. You see, if you never had a hard time, you wouldn't know that God can deliver you from hard times. If you never went through a dark, stormy night, you'd never know there's life on the other side of a storm. The more you serve God, the more you realize the little stuff is little stuff, and God is good, and his faithfulness lasts from generation to generation. Can I have an amen here this morning? So the enemy comes, and he wants to bring you into torment, and he wants to bring you into trouble, and he'll try, and those days come, like the day I had when I had to rush to Stockton. But you know what? All through that experience, for me, I had peace. I had tremendous peace, because peace is a person. And my dad came through the surgery. He didn't have the stroke. He's great. He's doing wonderful. And I praise the Lord for that. And thank you for your prayers and all that. But still, he's 87. I mean, you know, he's not going to live forever. So somewhere out there, there's a day, right? There's a day. But because I have history with the Lord, I've come to believe deep inside that there is nothing that can happen to me that can separate me from peace. People live with dread all the time. I'm going to get married. What if it turns out to be a train wreck? I'm going to go into business. What if I go broke? They live with dread. I'm going to have a baby. What if there's something wrong? If I take this job, what if it's not the right job? And we live with all this uncertainty. But here, let's cut through it right now. Let's settle this deep in our heart today, right now. There will never be a day, if I have Christ in my life, there will never be a day where I can't access peace. And when you believe that, that gives you strength, baby, like you can't imagine, to stand and face your future and the uncertain days that may be ahead for all of us, but we know that we have Jesus, so we have access to peace. Come on. How many want that peace? How many choose that peace? So we have to know Jesus. We have to focus on Him, and we have to trust Him through life's experiences and really let those experiences teach us about the faithfulness of God, that He will never fail us. Amen. Let's pray together. Bow your heads, everybody, and I'm just going to ask the Lord to get all over us right now. Do surgery in our hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Lord, I just speak peace to every storm. But more than that, I pray, Lord, that you will teach us to position ourselves so that we can live a lifetime of peace. We're sick and tired of settling for agitation and demonic disturbance in our lives. God of peace, we ask you to crush Satan under our feet. Thank you, Jesus, for leaving us an inheritance of peace. And we receive it, Lord. We just claim it as ours, and we ask you to teach us to walk in peace and live in peace and sleep in peace. Lord, I pray right now that you would touch people, especially that are dealing with anxiety, people that are struggling with insomnia, people that are just frazzled and shaken inside. Lord, let your medicine just come right now. Let the peace of God just fill our lives, Lord, and let it be a daily experience, I pray, in Jesus' name. Just keep your heads bowed for 2 minutes longer while I talk to a few people in this room. I don't know who you are, but I know you must be here. As I talked about having Jesus in your life, you knew deep inside that you don't have him because you've never invited him into your life. You've never truly surrendered to him. Or maybe there was a time when you were serving him, but you sort of took it back and you said, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. This doesn't work for me. I don't want to follow Jesus. I don't want to be this person. But in that, you realize that you've lost access to peace. And you know deep in your heart that you need to be at peace with God. You need your sins forgiven. And you don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. And that's just as real as it can get. Jesus said, whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So I ask you today to open your heart to invite Christ in and not to be afraid and not to be troubled by that, because you're gonna come into relationship with the God of peace, and he's going to bring peace in your life. If that's you and you realize today's the day that you need to surrender everything to Jesus and give it to him, your sins, your brokenness, your pain, you want to rededicate your life to Christ or give yourself to him, if that's you, I want to pray for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask God to do a miracle in your heart today. Would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. That's me. I'm going through that right now. That's where I'm at. Just anywhere in the auditorium, I see you, sir. I see you also in the back. In the first service, there were 5 people that made that important decision. Just let me pray for you. Who are you? Lift your hand. Pastor, that's me. I want to receive Christ. It's so marvelous to see 2 strong men dedicating their life to God. This works for everybody. This is not for women or old people or young, unstable people. This is for everybody. Is there one more person that would just say, Pastor, that's me. I need it. Thank you. I see your hand. Three people. So, Father, I pray for the miracle of peace, the forgiveness of sins. Lord Jesus, take the punishment for our sins. Lord, we give that to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for us, and thank you for rising again to prove that you are alive and that you're Lord. I pray, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit to touch these whose hands are raised and all of us who need you, God. We welcome you, Jesus, into our lives. I pray a miracle in these three or four that raise their hands, Lord. Let today be their day to never go back, Lord. I praise you for this. Give them the assurance of salvation through Christ, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. What a wonderful privilege to pray with four people in this service and five in the first service. Let's tell these four, we think they did the right thing. Come on. Now, if you raise your hand, I'd love to say hello to you. I'd love to meet you. If you've got to run, any way I can connect, there's a card right in front of you that says, I've decided. You heard about it earlier in the service. Just take a pen, fill that thing out. In a few minutes, the offering's going to come by. Drop that thing in there. Let me know the decision that you've made. As well, if you're new in the church, you want to reach out to us in any way, just use one of those cards. Drop it in the offering as it comes by. But let's say a prayer together as a church family, listening online or wherever you are. Let's say this prayer. Everybody, come on, out loud. Here we go. Father God, as your vessel, I ask to be filled with peace. Forgive me for yielding to distractions and fear. By faith, I ask for your rest, quietness, and confidence in my soul. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I thank you that he will, come on, say it with some pepper, that he will soon crush Satan under my feet in Christ's name. Amen. Come on, hallelujah, everybody. Praise God. All right, we're about 3 minutes from closing out. I want the ushers to come. Guys, just come and serve the people. We're going to worship for a little bit, and then we're going to pray for Joe, and we'll do some things after we dismiss. So stay close. Let's give. Let's honor the Lord. Let's sense his peace as we worship. I'll be right back.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar.
Thank you.
The Father.
Everybody, you can see our prayer team here if you need healing prayer or you just want to talk to somebody about what's going on in your life. The good men and women of this team are available to just talk with you and pray with you. We really do care for your needs. I'm going to speak a blessing over you in just a minute. I'm going to speak to you the words of 2 Peter 1:2. That's probably as good as it gets. After we dismiss, we're going to have special prayer for Moses and Joe, for those that are a part of that, just want to be a part of just blessing them and thanking them and loving on them. Also, we have the newcomers reception to my left and to your right, just down the hall. I'd love to meet you. And if you're interested in the Israel trip or anything else you heard about in the service, you can go to the information counters. Get connected in to see what God has for you. Classes, groups, and experiences that will help you. Would you lift your hands as I speak the word of God to you? This is a blessing. And I believe you can receive it. God wants you to be filled with blessing. So here it is, right from the Word of God. May you have more and more of His loving favor and peace as you come to know God and our Lord Jesus Christ better. Father, seal that blessing to each of us and let us walk in supernatural peace. Through Christ we pray. Amen. God bless you. I love every one of you. So glad we could be together. If you want to be here at the front for prayer and ministry or meet me in the newcomers reception, God bless you. And those friends of Joe and Moses, come on, we'll gather here for just a moment and speak blessing over them.